No, I didn't. No. So I just want to talk tonight. If you've not been along with us for a while, it's great to see so many visitors. We're in the middle of a series, and I'm just going to tap back into that and hopefully inspire everyone, whether it's first time being here for a while or whether you're a regular. If we went to most churches, or really any church that's got a mission statement or a vision plan or something like that, most of them would put that it sums up into three phrases: to love God, love people, and make disciples. Whatever way you package out, that's the main call, the great command, the great commission. We're told to love God, we're told to love people, and we're told to go and make disciples. So in the series that we're at the week where we're going to talk about actually being a disciple. Because we're all called to be disciples. If you become a Christian, you're not called to become a Christian and just be a believer. You're called to be a disciple. Matthew 28 verse 18, 20 says this: when Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And that's pretty good in itself. And then he says this: therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now, we like the idea of Jesus being with us always to the end of the age. But it actually comes as a package, because he says, before he's with us to the end of the age, he says, go and teach everybody what I've commanded you. And then he says, go and make disciples. Jesus never told any of us to go and make believers. He never says, go and get people to believe in me. He never told us just to go and advertise the fact that he's been around. He says, go make disciples of people. See, Jesus calls people to follow him. He doesn't call people just to believe in him. Many people say, well, I believe in Jesus, I'm going to be all right. Well, in James it says, even the demons believe in God and shudder. So believing is not really being typing as a start. And yet we're all told to actually become disciples of Jesus, to become followers of Jesus. And I think today in our churches and in our society, I think we've separated salvation from following God, from following Jesus. We've talked about put your hand up in a meeting, get saved, and then it's going to be okay. Jesus never said to anybody, put your hand up, say this prayer, and you're okay. He said to everybody, come, follow me. He said to people, come to me and follow me. He didn't say, come, believe in me, and you're okay. And yet, for some reason, we put salvation in one bracket, and we put discipleship, or following Jesus, in another bracket. There's a great famous verse in the Bible, which has been quoted so many times, often out of context. But the bit we all know is, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Rivers, even presidents of the USA have quoted that. But we forget there's a little bit before that, where Jesus says this. Jesus is speaking, and he says, to the Jews who believe in him. So Jesus is going to speak something to the Jews, to the people around him that believed in him. So you could say, well, I'm a believer in Jesus. Well, so this could account to you. But he's talking to people who put in their trust in him. And Jesus says to them, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Many people are believers in God and still bound up in things that's in their lives. They're struggling with stuff because they don't know the truth. What's the truth? The truth is that Jesus has set us free. Well, how do you get to know that Jesus set you free? Well, becoming a disciple. Well, how do you become a disciple? Well, holding on to his truths and to his teachings. So you've got to be people. A disciple is somebody who's a person of the Word of God. Somebody who reads the Bible. Somebody who believes the Bible. Somebody who packs the Bible. You don't look too confident. But that's all right, because I can't see any of you. I can just see silhouettes from here. Bye-bye, lights. Does it make me look good, or do I need to turn one way or another? Ah, forget it. But Jesus says this. He goes, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But that's on the back of, he's talking to people who believe in him, and he says, if, big question mark, if you hold to my teachings, if you, towards it, say, if you know the Word of God, if you're in the Bible, if you're reading the Word of God, then you are my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I look at it this way. I read something in the Bible. I start to meditate it and think about it. Take Psalm 103, for example. He redeems my life from a pit and he heals all my diseases and he crowns me with great things. So I think about that every time people tell me there's a flu season or the disease is going around. I have to think, well, the Bible says that you heal all my diseases. So any bugs that come onto me, Jesus, just kill them. But then I stopped saying that. I said, antibodies, the thing that I've been created with and born with, do your job. Just get on with whatever you're designed to do. Go kill, seek and destroy. Because I know the Bible says that he heals all my diseases. So no disease can come against me. Because I've meditated that and I'm a disciple of Jesus. Then we will know the truth and the truth will set you free. When I got saved many years ago, over half my lifetime ago now, the guy who prayed for me didn't say, just say a prayer and you're going to be all right. In fact, I've mentioned this a few times. He said to me, I want to become a Christian. He then says to me, are you willing to read your Bible? I said, well, yeah, that's what you do, don't you? Are you willing to pray? I said, yeah. He said, are you willing to tell people about Jesus? I went, yeah, why not? He says, go home, come back next week and just think about it. He didn't say, put your hand up in this meeting now, quickly say this prayer and acknowledge the seven laws and four of this and two of that. He sent me away. And then I came back the following week, I said, I still want to become a Christian. So he says, great, well, now we'll pray for you, because I thought about it. Because I wasn't becoming just somebody who says I'm a Christian by name. I wanted to become a disciple of Jesus. So this guy says to me, it's a cost involved. See, one of the problems that I have as a pastor, many pastors, church leaders, house group leaders and so on, people like you try to encourage people to grow in God. You see, I ask people to read the Bible. I ask them to pray. I ask them to attend church and get rooted and planted in a church. And I say to people, you need to be reading your word. You need to be praying. You need to be part of fellowship, not flitting around and doing whatever you want. And people say to me, Johnny, you don't understand that I'm busy. Johnny, you don't understand that I've got work. You don't understand that I'm tired when I come in. I'm saying to people, read your Bible, pray, come to church, be planted. And people say they're too busy. But let me tell you what Jesus says about this. Jesus says this, if any of you want to follow me, not me, that's Jesus. Jesus said, if any of you want to follow me, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. There's not brackets in there going, if it fits in with your work schedule. There's not brackets in there if you're not busy that day or tired. And it says this, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what will it benefit you if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? See, people say they become Christians, then work takes over. I used to be a builder, and in summer, I could make a cracking wage working late. And I used to get more and more jobs that come in, and they say, can you come in? And I'd say, no, I'm not working Saturdays because I want to look after my kids, and I'm not working Sundays because I'm going to church. And I used to get offered sometimes £500-600 just to go in and work on a Sunday. And they'd say, no, I'm off to church. And I go to church, we'd be ringing in a bell that I could have earned that sort of money. And then listen to somebody who bored the daylights out of me. And the worship were really khaki. And then somebody always irritated me. But I said, no, I said yes to God. And it meant that I'm a follower of Jesus. And Jesus expects me to be there. And I'm going to be there. Amen. Take up your cross and follow me. In Luke, it says even worse. Jesus then says this. He says to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. And I say, read your Bible and come to church once a week. And he's saying, do it daily and follow me, he says. You see, knowing how much you are loved, knowing how much Jesus cares for you, would inspire you to become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Not just a church attender, not just somebody who raises his hand up and says, well, I'm saved, I believe I'm all right. Jesus never asked us to raise his hands up and say, just believe you're all right. He says, follow me. But we're so loved. His love in me should flow out to others. His love in you should flow out to others. And we need to receive and to live this love through us that it affects other people. Ephesians 3:18 and 19 says this. May you have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure, filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Knowing how much you are loved makes you become a disciple after Jesus, but it also helps you to be filled with the fullness of God. Jeremiah 31 says this, the Lord has appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. We sung songs tonight about God's unfailing love. And yet still many people say, well, I don't know if I'm loved. I don't feel like I'm loved. Well, the reason you don't feel or know that you're loved is because you're not a disciple, because you're not in the Word of God, because the Word of God tells you you are loved, and when you know that you are loved, you'll do amazing things for Him. Being loved is not a gooey feeling up and down your spine, even though that can happen. Especially if you're married and stuff like that, it can happen. There's nothing wrong with having those moments. There's nothing wrong with having a moment and it tickling with Jesus. But the fact is, we need to understand the Word of God tells us we stand on the Word of God, not on our feelings. If you read 1 Peter, that's talk about taking a stand in the name of Jesus. But then you read 2 Peter, and 2 Peter's talk about taking a stand on the Word of God, knowing the Word of God. Psalm 27:10 says this, though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. So even if mum and dad abandon you, the worst scenario you could ever think of, especially to young people, the Lord will still receive them. It's good like that. It's quite good. Now, there's a book in the Bible called Lamentations, which is a real miserable book if you ever really want to get depressed and read that. But there's a great verse, a couple of verses in it. It says, because of the Lord's great love, He has not consumed us for it. I better read this right. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His compassions to us is new every morning. I mean, some of us have problems remembering whether we change his underpants. You know, I have a clean this morning. But God's love for us is new every morning. Fresh, new, amazing. Psalm 103, verse 8 says this, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. I hear so many people say, God's angry with me because I sinned. Well, I read that actually slow to anger, but abounding in love. Nobody ever tells me, I got up this morning, Jesus loves me. If I was going to go this morning thinking He's going to beat me with a stick. Why? Because we don't know the Word of God. His love is abounding. I love that word, abounding. It's an old-fashioned word, but abounding. You know, if anybody wants to give me some money, make it abounding. That's more than £2.50, isn't it? And it's going down fast. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. By the way, if God's anger did burn against us and against you, it would kill us. And it's only His grace and His mercy and His love that it sustains us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated His own love for us that in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were messed up, Jesus still loves us. That's why He wants us to become a disciple. So what is a disciple? A disciple is somebody that submits to a teacher and learns to follow Jesus. Now this is when we get into a sticky bit, because some people have real problems because they say, I only submit to Jesus. Jesus didn't say to His disciples, go and make disciples and tell them just to learn from me. He says, you go, make disciples and teach them. You teach them to do everything I've commanded you to. So it's my job to teach you. And it's your job to teach other people. But when you say that you're going to submit and become a disciple, oh, I'm a disciple of Jesus. But actually, we're a disciple to each other as well, because we're teaching and learning from each other. So we need to submit to a teacher and learn to follow Jesus. We need to learn the Word of God. I'm amazed how many people don't know the Word of God. Maybe you're different. Maybe in our church and in the church that you attend, it might be hot on the agenda. But in a lot of places, people don't know. In a recent survey in America on Google, 500,000 people a month type in Google. This is just in the USA. I don't know if there's 260 million people. Type in how to study the Bible. 500,000 people a month are asking, how do you study the Bible? So that means people like me are not teaching people how to study the Bible, at least not in America. I wonder what it's like in our country. So we're going to learn the Word of God. We're going to learn Jesus' ways. How do you learn His ways? Through the Word of God. We need to find and teach others to follow Jesus. It's not just my job, it's our job. And learn to become intimate with Jesus. That's a disciple. So what can we do? Romans 12, 1, 2 says this. I appeal to you, therefore. I like that. I appeal to you. It's not just going, you know what? It'll be all right. There's an urgency. There's something in there where Paul's trying to get across us. It says in the King James, the New King, I beseech you. I assume that means I appeal to you. I don't know, really, but I beseech you. Sounds good. Therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. Remember that little bit? Take up your cross and follow me? From earlier? Yes, Johnny? Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the sermon. Let's pause and stand. No, let's not even go there. Right, he said, let us present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. See, we've been looking recently, a few weeks ago, that we've all got a purpose. Every one of us has got a purpose from God. And then we looked at the fact that worship is part of our purpose, but worship is more than a song. It's a lifestyle. We also looked at fellowship, and fellowship is more than just a cup of tea after a meeting. Fellowship is just communicating with people, spending time with people. And now we're looking at discipleship. But he goes on. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing, of your mind, that you may test and discern what God's will is, the will of God, that good and acceptable and perfect will. Many people say to me, John, I don't know what God's will is. Well, if we don't conform to a pattern of this world and we transform by the renewing of our mind, which is as we read the Word of God, then we will find out what the will of God is for us. People question, what's God's will for my life? We'll get into the Word of God. It'll soon become quite apparent. I found this quote and I really liked it. And I forgot who it's by. But it's a quote, it's not mine. Every disciple dreams of living a life of great meaning and fulfillment. I'd say that everybody's like that. But that life doesn't come to people who drift about as immature converts. It only belongs to those who choose a life of transformational discipleship. We all want to make our lives mean something, have a purpose. But if we drift around like immature babies in God, we'll never get it. But it's only those who choose a life of transformation and discipline. We see people on the platform tonight. Now, I don't know them all that well. Some I know well, some I don't. But what I do know is none of them came out of the womb playing an instrument. You know, Mark didn't come out, give me a keyboard, Mum, let me rip. I'm all right. I mean, he might be more talented from birth. I don't know. I don't know if Katie came out going, come on, I'll get that bass going. Or Danny and Ressa. They learned. They disciplined themselves. Any great musician knows there's a thing called scales. It's a boring thing. I play bass and guitar. But just going up and down, up and down. It's boring. But if you don't do it, you'll never become an accomplished musician. And it's the same with God. Why do we think we're living in a matrix world where we can say to Jesus, just beam it into my head? If you've never seen a matrix, you have to watch it. In it goes. He said it's like you just got to read the word, meditate on the word, become a disciple of Jesus, learning the word of God. You see, this is my cry, like Paul. He said, so we tell others about Christ, warning every one of them and teaching everyone with all wisdom of God that is given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationships to Christ. And that is why I work, struggling hard, depending upon Christ's mighty power that works within me. I'm like Paul. I've got a passion to see people grow. I've got a passion to see you grow in Jesus. It really bothers me, and it really does, when I see people just drifting away in the things of God, in the things of this world. It really bothers me when you're going through the same problem again and again and again. And I say, the Bible says, and yet some people just seem to ignore that because they've got a better idea. And then later on, the same problem, the Bible says, Paul had this same problem, and he worked so hard and struggled so hard to tell people. He wanted to warn everyone and teach them everything that God's got for them. He just didn't want to make people believe. He wanted to make disciples of God. So I need to challenge every one of us, including myself. Am I walking in a right path with God? Am I disciplined enough? Am I taking up my cross daily and following him? Or am I just playing around? I don't think some people in here are playing around. I think some of you are mean business. I just think life is kicking you around sometimes. And when life kicks you around, the only anchor you've got is Jesus and the Word of God. And sometimes you need to be in the Word of God so you know what it says. Many, many years ago, I went through what I would say a dark time in my life. There were a lot going on. I just felt like I was in a dark place. And I found a verse in the Old Testament in Micah, which is the book that nobody really gets to. But it says this, it says, "Don't gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, yet will I stand. Though I sit in darkness, a light will shine upon me." So I know it's so far. Micah 7 verse 8. And it took me a time, I meditated on it, I thought about that. And one day I woke up and I goes, "Devil, don't gloat over me. Though I have fallen, yet will I stand." And it started a fire in my belly that I was going to stand. And people were trying to encourage me, and people were trying to get alongside me, but I needed a fire inside me that was going to push me through. And that's what the Word of God can do to you. When you get hold of the Word of God, when you become a disciple of the Word of God, when you're a follower of Jesus and you mean in business, when any storm comes, you can be that crazy Christian at the front of the ship going, "Bring it on," instead of the ones at the back crying and hoping that you get through it. I am one of those crazy people. I see storms of life come, and I see them now as an opportunity to see God's awesomeness. But I see other Christians running for the hills when a storm comes. Why? Because God's promised to be faithful, and I believe it. I believe it. And whatever happens, he's going to be faithful. Yes. He will stand by his word more than I will stand by his word. And he cares more for me than anybody else, and I care for myself. And that's why I encourage you, whichever church you come from, if you're part of us, is to get planted and rooted in your church, to be a disciple in that church, to learn and to get alongside people, to minister to one another, learn the word of God so you can take your stand and you can stand on the rock that is Jesus. You can look into the Word and stand on the Word of God. There's been a few words given to people over this weekend, and I would add on to that, that you need to be in the Word of God. No matter how gifted or talented we are, or we think we are, or we wish we were, we still need to be on the Word of God, because your talent will take you so far, but the Word of God is an anchor that you'll never fall down if you're standing on the Word of God. It's like having concrete boots on. We've been there, haven't we, Phil? Concrete in the cell with big boots on. So, guys, wherever you're from, make a decision to become a disciple. Not just a believer, but a disciple of Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, then maybe come and talk to me or the person you came with. And just say, "How can I become a follower?" But there is a cost. Not money. It's a free gift, but it will cost you as time goes on. But God's got an amazing purpose and plan for every one of us. All you awesome people, loved, cherished and cared for by God. People that are amazing in God's sight. People that are perfect in God's view. You're not a worthless sinner, a worm in the dust. You
are a child of God, an amazing person. And he sees the best in you, and he sees great potential in every one of you. We don't limit ourselves. We don't wish for something else, just trusting in the mercy of God. So let me pray for you, and then we're going to end. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for everyone here. I thank you, Jesus, that you have a great and awesome plan for every one of us. That you are amazing, and Lord, that it's all about you. Lord, let us become followers of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one who died on the cross and was raised again just for us. Lord, help us to trust in you, in all that you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.